Chapter 6. My day's no business beckoning me to the East End of London, I had turned my face to that point of the metropolitan compass on leaving Covent Garden, and had got past the India House, thinking in my idle manner of Tipu Sahib and Charles Lamb, and had got past my little wooden midshipman, after affectionately patting him on one leg of his knee shorts for old acquaintance sake, and had got past Aljate Pump, and had got past the Saracen's Head with an ignominious rash of posting bills disfiguring his swarthy countenance, and had strolled up the empty yard of his ancient neighbor the Black or Blue Boar, or Bull, who departed this life I don't know when, and whose coaches are all gone I don't know where, and I had come out again into the age of railways, and I had got past Whitechapel Church, and was rather inappropriately for an uncommercial traveler in the commercial road, pleasantly wallowing in the abundant mud of that thoroughfare, and greatly enjoying the huge piles of building belonging to the sugar refiners, the little masts and vanes in small back gardens in back streets, the neighboring canals and docks, the India vans lumbering along their stone tramway, and the pawnbroker's shops where hard-up mates had pawned so many sextants and quadrants, that I should have bought a few cheap, if I had the least notion how to use them, I at last began to file off to the right, towards Wapping. Not that I intended to take boat at Wapping Old Stairs, or that I was going to look at the locality, because I believe, for I don't, in the constancy of the young woman who told her sea-going lover, to such a beautiful old tune, that she had ever continued the same, since she gave him the Baxter box marked with his name. I am afraid he usually got the worst of those transactions, and was frightfully taken in. No, I was going to Wapping, because an Eastern police magistrate had said, through the morning papers, that there was no classification at the Wapping workhouse for women, and that it was a disgrace and a shame, and divers other hard names, and because I wished to see how the fact really stood. For, that Eastern police magistrates are not always the wisest men of the East, may be inferred from their course of procedure respecting the fancy dressing and pantomime posturing at St. George's in that quarter, which is usually, to discuss the matter at issue, in a state of mind bedeckoning the weakest perplexity, with all parties concerned and unconcerned, and, for a final expedient, to consult the complainant, as to what he thinks, ought to be done with the defendant, and take the defendant's opinion, as to what he would recommend to be done with himself. Long before I reached Wapping, I gave myself up as having lost my way, and, abandoning myself to the narrow streets, in a Turkish frame of mind, relied on predestination to bring me somehow, or other to the place I wanted, if I were ever to get there. When I had ceased for an hour or so, to take any trouble about the matter, I found myself on a swing bridge looking down at some dark locks in some dirty water. Over against me, stood a creature remotely in the likeness of a young man, with a puffed sallow face, and a figure all dirty, and shiny and slimy, who may have been the youngest son of his filthy old father, Thames, or the drowned man about whom there was a placard on the granite post like a large thimble, that stood between us. I asked this apparition, what it called the place. Unto which, it replied, with a ghastly grin and a sound like gurgling water in its throat. Apostrophe Mr. Baker's trap. Apostrophe, as it is a point of great sensitiveness with me on such occasions, to be equal to the intellectual pressure of the conversation, I deeply considered the meaning of this speech, while I eyed the apparition then engaged in hugging and sucking a horizontal iron bar at the top of the locks. Inspiration suggested to me that Mr. Baker was the acting coroner of that neighborhood. A common place for suicide, apostrophe said I, looking down at the locks. Sue? Apostrophe apostrophe returned the ghost, with a stare. Yes. And Paul. Likewise Emily. And Nancy. And Jane. Apostrophe he sucked the iron between each name, and all the biling catches off their bonnets or shawls, takes a run, and headers down here, they do's. Always a headerin' down here, they is. Like 1 o'clock. Apostrophe, and at about that hour of the morning, I suppose. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the apparition. They ain't particular. 2L do for them. 3. All times o' night. On mind you. Apostrophe here the apparition rested his profile on the bar, and gurgled in a sarcastic manner. There must be somebody coming. They don't go a-headerin' down here, when there ain't no Bobby nor General Cove, fur to hear the splash. Apostrophe, according to my interpretation of these words, I was myself a General Cove, or member of the miscellaneous public, in which modest character I remarked. They are often taken out, are they, and restored? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I dunno about restored, apostrophe said the apparition, who, for some occult reason, very much objected to that word. They're carried into the workus, and put into a hot bath, and brought round. But I dunno about restored, apostrophe said the apparition. Blow that. Apostrophe and vanished. As it had shown a desire to become offensive, I was not sorry to find myself alone, especially as the workus it had indicated with a twist of its matted head, was close at hand. So I left Mr. Baker's terrible trap baited with a scum that was like the soapy rinsing of sooty chimneys, and made bold to ring at the workhouse gate, where I was wholly unexpected and quite unknown. A very bright and nimble little matron, with a bunch of keys in her hand, responded to my request to see the house. I began to doubt whether the police magistrate was quite right in his facts, when I noticed her quick, active little figure and her intelligent eyes. The traveler, the matron intimated, should see the worst first. He was welcome to see everything. Such as it was, there it all was. This was the only preparation for our entering the foul wards. Apostrophe, they were in an old building squeezed away in a corner of a paved yard, quite detached from the more modern and spacious main body of the workhouse. They were in a building most monstrously behind the time, a mere series of garrets or lofts, with every inconvenient and objectionable circumstance in their construction, and only accessible by steep and narrow staircases, infamously ill-adapted for the passage upstairs of the sick, or downstairs of the dead. A bed in these miserable rooms, here on bedsteads, there, for a change, as I understood it, on the floor, were women in every stage of distress and disease. None but those who have attentively observed such scenes can conceive the extraordinary variety of expression still latent under the general monotony and uniformity of color, attitude, and condition. The form a little coiled up and turned away, as though it had turned its back on this world forever. The uninterested face at once lead-colored and yellow, looking passively upward from the pillow, the haggard mouth a little dropped, the hand outside the coverlet, so dull and indifferent, so light, and yet so heavy, these were on every palate. But when I stopped beside a bed, and said ever so slight a word to the figure lying there, the ghost of the old character came into the face, and made the foul ward as various as the fair world. No one appeared to care to live, but no one complained. All who could speak said that as much was done for them as could be done there, that the attendance was kind and patient, that their suffering was very heavy, but they had nothing to ask for. The wretched rooms were as clean and sweet as it is possible for such rooms to be. They would become a pest house in a single week if they were ill kept. I accompanied the brisk matron up another barbarous staircase, into a better kind of loft devoted to the idiotic and imbecile. There was at least light in it, whereas the windows in the former wards had been like sides of schoolboys' birdcages. There was a strong grating over the fire here, and, holding a kind of state on either side of the hearth, Separated by the breadth of this grating, were two old ladies in a condition of feeble dignity, which was surely the very last and lowest reduction of self-complacency to be found in this wonderful humanity of ours. They were evidently jealous of each other, and passed their whole time,
as some people do, whose fires are not grated,
in mentally disparaging each other, and contemptuously watching their neighbors. One of these parodies on provincial gentlewomen was extremely talkative, and expressed a strong desire to attend the service on Sundays, from which she represented herself to have derived the greatest interest and consolation when allowed that privilege. She gossiped so well, and looked altogether so cheery and harmless, that I began to think this a case for the Eastern magistrate, until I found that on the last occasion of her attending chapel she had secreted a small stick, and had caused some confusion in the responses by suddenly producing it and belabouring the congregation. So, these two old ladies, separated by the breadth of the grating otherwise they would fly at one another's caps at all day long, suspecting one another, and contemplating a world of fits. For everybody else in the room had fits, except the ward's woman, an elderly, able-bodied pauperess, with a large upper lip, and an air of repressing and saving her strength, as she stood with her hands folded before her, and her eyes slowly rolling, biding her time for catching or holding somebody. This civil personage,
in whom I regretted to identify a reduced member of my honorable friend Mrs. Gamp's family,
said, "They has 'em continual, sir. They drops without no more notice than if they was coach horses dropped from the moon, sir. And when one drops, another drops, and sometimes there'll be as many as four or five on them at once. Dear me, a rolling and a tearing, bless you. This young woman, now, has 'em dreadful bad." Apostrophe, she turned up this young woman's face with her hand as she said it. This young woman was seated on the floor, pondering in the foreground of the afflicted. There was nothing repellent either in her face or head. Many, apparently worse, varieties of epilepsy and hysteria were about her, but she was said to be the worst here. When I had spoken to her a little, she still sat with her face turned up, pondering, and a gleam of the midday sun shone in upon her. Whether this young woman, and the rest of these so sorely troubled, as they sit, or lie pondering in their confused dull way, ever get mental glimpses among the motes in the sunlight, of healthy people and healthy things. Whether this young woman, brooding like this in the summer season, ever thinks that somewhere there are trees and flowers, even mountains and the great sea? Whether, not to go so far, this young woman ever has any dim revelation of that young woman who is not here, and never will come here, who is courted, and caressed, and loved, and has a husband, and bears children, and lives in a home, and who never knows what it is to have this lashing and tearing coming upon her. And whether this young woman, God help her, gives herself up then, and drops like a coach horse from the moon? I hardly knew whether the voices of infant children, penetrating into so hopeless a place, made a sound that was pleasant or painful to me. It was something to be reminded that the weary world was not all a weary, and was ever renewing itself. But, this young woman was a child not long ago, and a child not long hence might be such as she. Hobart, the active step and eye of the vigilant matron conducted me past the two provincial gentlewomen, whose dignity was ruffled by the children, and into the adjacent nursery. There were many babies here, and more than one handsome young mother. There were ugly young mothers also, and sullen young mothers, and callous young mothers. But, the babies had not appropriated to themselves any bad expression yet, and might have been, for anything that appeared to the contrary in their soft faces, princes imperial, and princesses royal. I had the pleasure of giving a poetical commission to the baker's man to make a cake with all dispatch, and toss it into the oven for one red-headed young pauper and myself, and felt much the better for it. Without that refreshment, I doubt if I should have been in a condition for the refractories, apostrophe towards whom my quick little matron, for whose adaptation to her office I had by this time conceived a genuine respect, drew me next, and marshaled me the way that I was going. The refractories were picking oakum, in a small room giving on the yard. They sat in line on a form, with their backs to a window. Before them, a table, and their work. The oldest refractory was, say, 20, youngest refractory, say, 16. I have never yet ascertained in the course of my uncommercial travels why a refractory habit should affect the tonsils and uvula, but I have always observed that refractories of both sexes and every grade, between a ragged school and the Old Bailey, have one voice, in which the tonsils and uvula gain a diseased ascendancy. £5 indeed. I ain't a going fur to pick £5, apostrophe said the chief of the refractories, keeping time to herself with her head and chin. More than enough to pick what we picks now, in such a place as this, and on what we gets here. Apostrophe, apostrophe, this was in acknowledgement of a delicate intimation that the amount of work was likely to be increased. It certainly was not heavy then, for one refractory had already done her day's task. It was barely 2 o'clock, and was sitting behind it, with a head exactly matching it. A pretty house this is, matron, ain't it? Apostrophe, apostrophe said refractory two, where a policeman's called in, if a gal says a word. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and when you're sent to prison for nothing or less. Apostrophe, apostrophe said the chief, tugging at her oakum, as if it were the matron's hair. But any place is better than this, that's one thing, and be thankful. Apostrophe, apostrophe, a laugh of refractories led by oakum head with folded arms who originated nothing, but who was in command of the skirmishers outside the conversation. If any place is better than this, apostrophe said my brisk guide, in the calmest manner, it is a pity you left a good place when you had one. Apostrophe, oh, no, I didn't, matron, apostrophe returned the chief, with another pull at her oakum, and a very expressive look at the enemy's forehead. Don't say that, matron, cause it's lies. Apostrophe, apostrophe, oakum had brought up the skirmishers again, skirmished, and retired. And I warned a going, apostrophe exclaimed refractory too, though I was in one place for as long as 4 year. I warned a going fur to stop in a place that weren't fit for me there, and where the family weren't spectable characters there, and where I fortunately or unfortunately found that the people weren't what they pretended to make theirselves out to be there, and where it wasn't their faults, by chalks, if I weren't made bad and ruinated, ah! Apostrophe, apostrophe, during this speech, oakum head had again made a diversion with the skirmishers, and had again withdrawn. The uncommercial traveler ventured to remark that he supposed Chief Refractory and Number One to be the two young women who had been taken before the magistrate? Yes. Apostrophe, apostrophe said the chief, we are. And the wonder is, that a policeman and add in now, and we took off again. You can't open your lips here, without a policeman. Apostrophe, number two laughed very uvularly, and the skirmishers followed suit. I'm sure I'd be thankful, apostrophe protested the chief, looking sideways at the uncommercial, if I could be got into a place, or got Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.